Like, there's so many people like, oh, and the bots won the election for Donald Trump. It's like, no, people won the election for Donald Trump. Like, own up to it. And it's always been like that. Just start talking to each other a bit more. Everything I always do, I always think, like, would my brother or my mum like it? Like, would I be able to show it to them and them not think, like, all right, dickhead? I am Jacob Samuel, a.k.a. Jacob Samuel Fairclough, a.k.a. DJ Junior Architect, a.k.a. Millways, a.k.a. Eternal Life Orchestra. I'm one half of Album Corp here at Somerset House with my good friend Klein, who we've worked together for years, and we have a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, a lot of jokes, some special times. It's been lovely. We met years ago in, like, when we both lived southeast. Oh, I still live southeast. We both still live in the exact same house. And we were just making tunes. We met because of each other's music. And we just made loads and loads of stuff, like hundreds and songs that I don't know, we never did anything with. Yeah, we've just been close friends ever since. I think the music thing was kind of like we got along very well immediately. So I think whenever we're not doing anything, it doesn't really matter. It's just nice to hang out. You know, it's still a bit like that. You usually have different approaches to the same idea. Like the thing that's going on now, it's like anything that's kind of funny, like the joke that hasn't been said yet, which usually means you get people to come and say stuff from a different perspective. But, you know, it's like you do it for the memes at the end of the day. And they're coming through thick and fast before they die. And so you got to be there, be supportive, just be all right. The work, I think, actually has several titles. The one on the wall at the moment is If You Die in Roblox, You Die in Real Life. Just because I was a bit obsessed with the Roblox death sound for a while, and I thought it was hilarious. Just playing it really loud, it's just and that was funny. Got really into Minecraft again, which is another sort of like dead in the sense that just no one interested in it. It ain't Fortnite. It hasn't got the playtime of Fortnite anymore. It's the sentimentality of it. I mean, there's on YouTube, there's loads of these videos of people using sort of things like Minecraft or Roblox as a storytelling device and coming up with these like really romantic, or like kids doing these like really sad stories. But it's the emotion that gets imbued into these things, and because there's a particular style of aesthetics to it, it brings out certain areas of thing. I think one reason why I wanted to do something a bit more contemporary on this is you notice a lot of internet culture for some reason has this obsession with a sort of 80s nostalgia of it, and I was never really understood why. And I think it's because there's still that whimsy of it there. And when you're talking about something in a creative manner, you kind of have to leave the question open, or why would you make it? And not that that's ever the intention to leave the question open, but it has to be somewhat ongoing, which is why I think the work developed into what it was. There's like so much research done into it. If you're playing open world games, you start realizing if it's not very well designed, all you do is you get the tools with which to interact with your world, you build something to defend against the world, and then after that, you kind of do nothing. And I thought it's like a beautiful metaphor for what labor is in life anyway. Read a lot about animals and stuff. I really like dogs. It's interesting in a way that you see the more emotive animals are usually the ones that don't have to fight for the survival the most. Once you've got rid of scarcity, consciousness becomes sentimental, and you can build over binds and no longer just functional things for life. But if you put yourself in like open world environments, and once you get those functions to survive and to defend yourself against things, the sentiment can't really happen because you don't become involved in other bodies from then. So as happens in stage, you get bored and you stop doing things. If you're getting bored and you don't feel any relation to the world you're in, if you were to find yourself actually in a completely simulated environment, your moral imperative no longer has the connection to labor. Your morality is no longer something which you have to develop over a period of time, because the results that you get from it are immediate, because they're sort of a facsimile of what they would be. And then it came back to just that fucking joke from The Matrix: if you die in The Matrix, you die in real life. So that's why everything's got churned up. And I think that was like the eventual thing of the work, is I got all the data for mortality, for marriage, immigration, and we developed this program in Python to turn it into a score, and then use the sort of Muzaki sounds. For the visuals, I just found the most correlative pieces of information that have no semantic connection and put them into like algebraic formulas to create structure. The titles that are on the screen are the two things that are being played on the audio at the time of the doing it, but then I just stuck them in a clickbait generator to make it, you know, because it's enticing then. That's kind of what these worlds do if you're representing everything. And so I thought the theory was the last thing left, that would be what ties it together. But then that's still a personal thing I'm putting onto it. So I just churned that through 28 translators until it got smaller and smaller. Then did the durational performance of writing that, and then churned the amount that got written into another score. So then you basically have two scores playing against one another, which are imbued with so much sentiment, yet in reality don't really have any of that. And it is that sort of choice of digital stuff. You just see people say AI all the fucking time and just go like, and it just feels like if you replace that with robots, a lot of people sound pretty fucking dumb. It's exactly, when AI is gonna do this, it's like, no, it's your fucking responsibility. Like, there's so many people like, oh, and the bots won the election for Donald Trump. It's like, no, people won the election for Donald Trump. Like, own up to it. And it's always been like that. Just start talking to each other a bit more. I just don't like that, the excitement and cynicism of a sort of thing. It's just like, oh my god, the world is... And it's like, no, it's really not. Like, if anything, like, stuff's really good for some people. You've just chosen to focus on certain things that are close to your home. It's still terrible in other places, like it always has been. In some places, it's getting better. We just don't have the capacity to actually think to that an expansive a level, which harks back to the information thing as well. People using statistics to get emotive responses out of individuals. Which is, I don't know, we're very simple fucking people, all of us. Just don't get ideas about your station, innit? It's just like, fucking calm down, sit down, lad. I grew up in, the Northwest, 18, and then moved down here. But, I mean, I still go back, switch between Manchester sometimes. I always have this thing, it's like, oh, I'll go Manchester again, and then it's like, no, I ain't going Manchester again. But then I question that about London all the time. I wake up every day, it's like, why the fuck am I here? I don't know if the North has an influence. I just think not being Southern has an influence. I don't think the North has anything particular. Every end has got their own thing about it. It's like, I'm plastic as fuck now, even me. Like, if saying something about North, I've not been there, living there properly for a long time, so I wouldn't like want to say that as a profound effect. I do love Oasis, like, massively. It's not like something that's constant, but every few months I go through about six songs. And it's weird being down here, because even speaking to Benny, he was cynical, and I was saying, I was just, look, even if you just watch the most recent documentary, you'll get into it and you'll realize how well structured those songs are, and you'll love it. So, yeah, don't look back in anger if you want. Always a fan. So I start a revolution from my bed. Cause you said the brains I had went to my head. Step outside, summertime's in bloom. I stand up beside the fireplace. Take that look from off your face. You ain't ever gonna burn my heart out. the first live scoring of the football we did was the England-Tunisia game. It was myself and Mr. JB Glazer, who's a good friend of mine and a great musician. And it ended up being like pretty post-rocky, very fun. It was the most fun I've had playing live music in a while, actually. And we're doing that at Grow Tottenham, I think, for the majority of it. Maybe some of the venues for the tear-jerking games. But yeah, we've got a big revolving band with different folks coming in for different bits, the games that they want to play. I don't know, I always thought like the second half is always interesting to me because you're always a bit pissed by the end of it. And it just becomes this meditation of like, kind of, you're having a few laughs before and on first, but then you're just like really watching. And then, but it's that kind of thing of like when literally meditating, like a thought comes and you let it go and you can like look at the clock and it's like, where the fuck did those last 15 minutes go? And I don't know if that's because it's just fucking England games and you can know what can happen in 15 minutes, but it felt really meditative while doing it. Sat there doing like the sort of like rock wobble to the sort of like groove of it, like the heads of the guitars going back and forth. But I'm looking forward to the next ones because we just bought some big extension leads, which means all the band can sit in this big cage, which is in the room for some reason. And so it's like we've got this big cage on one side where you can just stick the musicians and then the projector on the other side. And I quite like the idea of people coming in sitting on these benches and this is a sheet behind dudes like playing saxophones and guitars and drums, but they don't have to. Because I've always found that sort of like the natural distance an audience makes towards either a performance or a band pretty fun. And whether you choose to address it or not, it's just like a lot of nice stuff in there. We've got like a jazz album coming out at the end of this year, I think, with Ben. That's Ben Vince. I've known him for a good like 7 years or something, and we've always just been like running in parallel things and never really got to sit down and do something. And I needed to record some piano early on this year and he hooked me up with a spot. But then there was something like of a moment of a thing when it was happening. And both of us were just in some like fucking weird mood or something. And I came away with the recordings and I was just like, you should jump on this, man. And so I got him round, played him loads of music from Sonic and Zelda, got him fucking drunk, and then just made him like rip it for like 26 minutes and didn't give him any breaks. And I was like, oh, let's push. And I think when it was on, when we finished it, it's like, yeah, we don't need to edit. That's it. We've got it. And yeah, we've just been sitting on it for time. Like, we keep on sending these like pathetically minute changes, which is like, I think there needs to be like 0.5 dB pushed up there. Which is not, it's been an interesting process for me because it's not usually how I mix. I'm very like, however it was done in the live recording, I usually try and retain that. If there's like someone jumped away from the mic or something, it's like, yeah, maybe you don't know what that is if you're listening to it, but it's part of the process of doing it. And this one's been more like trying to look at the tradition of mixing albums, which have been like a live two-piece, and how we can both pay respect to that and do our own thing. The video for the self-love EP for Distraction, there's a few more that got made around the same time. So they were part of this series called Entertainment, and they're all kind of like durational pieces. But with the Distraction one, once it was made, I thought, you know what, just leave that actually. I think that's funnier if that's the only video or visual representation. is literally people sticking their heads in the sand or literally in the water. And it's, you know, it's pretty funny. It's like a bit on the nose part of it, but then there's like, I think, enough subtlety in the shooting for it to still retain some interesting stuff. But yeah, there's a whole series. One of them's about meat. Another one is like a quick one about Britain leaving the European Union, because I thought that's enough of a meme. Yeah, one's just got long arms in it. Another one is about ghosts. Me and Ben were going to score them playing sequentially, but I thought actually I'd quite like to put them in a room with multiple screens and have them all playing at the same time. Like a room called Entertainment, I think, would be pretty good. Like, I used to love YouTube back in the day because you get people just uploading shit. They're just testing out camera. They just upload their driveway for like 20 minutes. And I just found that fascinating. It was just like, okay, this is how you break like narrative cinema, is you film the back ends. And it's fine. And sometimes it's captivating. Sometimes it's really boring. But I like that. So if you just put something interesting in the frame that can hold it, you notice a lot more, I think. Which I think I find the same with literature. You like, if something is overtly didactic or complex, it just doesn't retain interest. And I've always had like a very strong belief that you can't really teach anyone anything. Everyone has to teach themselves something. So because everything you experience is just a sort of perceptual environment, and you can't have the kind of either the balls or the arrogance to go like, no, my stuff's going to be the one. And it's like, no, it's not. Because like, that person's going to hear 20 other things that day and everything. You might be in the right situation at the right time, but you don't have that sort of power. I jump on the mic on anything. Like, I'm always open for it. I think people think I'm like cynical or something. It's like, no, get me on. I will spit up. I'll MC. I'll host your show. I've always wanted to work on ITV. I've always wanted an index job. That's my dream. It really is.